League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFNC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN 97.5. A Gao Media Station. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. I promised it. I told you. I'm positive. Here they come. Lamont, you asked for it. You got it. We start with the theme from Rocky as our Way Back Wednesday is all about motivating the local nine to get it done tonight.
Is this motivating you? Is this what you get motivated to?
I hear that trumpet in the opening of the theme from Rocky, and I can punch my way through a wall.
You could throw socks at the TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I might even do some damage to the screen.
Okay.
Don't sleep on how I used to throw. My left wing could wing it. News of the day that we have not got to yet.
Hey,
but you have breaking news.
When they release, well, I'm going to ask you guys this first. You guys are more. I mean, I'm just a guy. I'm just a dude making his way through sports talk radio. When they give you a press release and it says embargoed until November 1st, does that mean you can't give it out?
I don't think so.
Well, it's November 1st.
Because they can't trust media members with that.
Okay. Well,
who the hell puts that on?
I don't know. It just says embargoed until the November 1st, but that's today.
Yeah.
But, okay. Houston is going to host the College Football Playoff National Championship in 2024.
That is awesome.
That is badass. Congrats, Houston.
No doubt.
It's going to be at, they're anticipating 72,000 fans. Attend NRG Stadium January 8th, 2024.
It is going to be interesting to see, like, you know, is the same teams at the top? Is the SEC still a dominant conference?
I cannot wait for the Aggies Cougars National Championship in 2024. Hello? Is this thing on? What happened? No? Okay.
As Major Applewhite leads your Cougs?
Yes.
Okay.
Against his former, okay. Hated rival.
That's big,
of the Aggies.
Though, man. I mean, you think
it's
about
a big
the big
deal
time
for Houston.
And look at what Houston's done with having Super Bowl, having the NCAA Final Four, you know, having the World Series, having all the different events that Houston and the College Football Playoff is. They always go
and the
to
way
Jerry
they handle
World.
It. And that's probably the Super Bowl is probably a part of the reason why they decided to.
I'm sure in part
place the national championship game here because
and
everybody
this Super Bowl,
has
because of true. The way they incorporated point, Discovery Green and all the new hotels
yep.
and all the different things. I think they saw this as a venue just like they see Jerry World and they see Phoenix and they see all the different venues. It's awesome.
It's a pretty cool deal when you get to have games like that. But I mean, how lucky are we this year to have a Super Bowl and a World Series
yes.
in the same year in the same city?
You can
pretty
control
lucky.
One. You can't control the other.
Right, but
that's
what I mean.
Really
pretty
amazing.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, other news of the day in the NFL that we have yet to get to. Brian Hoyer has rejoined the Patriots on a 3-year deal to be the backup for Tom Brady. And speaking of going to a place you once were to try and be good again, Brock Osweiler is the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. So, if you have the Eagles defense this week in fantasy football, you might want to put all your eggs in that basket.
How bad is it going in Denver that you have to start Brock Osweiler?
Twofold. You have to start Brock Osweiler
God.
Because you don't believe in Paxton Lynch, who you drafted with a high pick a year ago. So, what does that say all across the board?
That's sad. Maybe they feel like that'll be the Brock that before he left. I don't know, but. Ugh.
Then there's all this about. Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo was traded yesterday to the Niners for a second-round pick, but it was more about the botched quarterback trade in which A.J. McCarron, there was an agreement in principle and a trade between the Bengals sending A.J. McCarron to the Cleveland Browns for a second and a third round pick. Now, there's a discussion itself in the fact that A.J. McCarron was bringing more value to the table than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
But the Browns, in their, shall we say, celebratory mode, forgot to fax the paperwork in time until after the deadline, and the NFL wouldn't allow it. You, as an organization, are idiots.
And they filed a protest, and the NFL said, nope.
Yep.
They asked for an exception, and the NFL was like, sorry.
Because this is not the first time that this has happened.
But I also think that it kind of screws the Bengals, too, because now they've got to sit on a guy that they didn't want, and they don't get the picks that they wanted. Now they got to wait until maybe the draft or something like that.
Right.
But
I want to say this happened in 2012, and they have to stay firm. Otherwise, there's inconsistent, you know, approach to, you know, how to deal with trades and stuff.
That's
like
a good
that.
Point. I wonder what the excuse was, right? Like, oh, dude, the maid had unplugged the fax machine, and we couldn't get it. The IT guy was at lunch, and we couldn't figure out how to plug it in.
How about the fact Granato and Sean mentioned this today? But how about the fact that it's basically been widely known that one, that Hugh Jackson and his coaching staff was irate that they didn't get the deal done, but also the night before the deadline, when obviously deals are being done because we covered all the deals that were done the day before, including the Dwayne Brown trade. They were Hugh Jackson was looking for his general manager at 5 o'clock. He was already at home with his family, kicking it
on trade night,
the night before the trade deadline. Are you kidding me?
Say what you want about some of the other GMs that maybe, you know, are for your team, but I feel like all the GMs in this city would be at work.
Oh, I already know. From a Daryl Morey perspective, he and his whole crew, they were ordering in, and they basically no sleep
lived
till Brooklyn.
There.
They were living there till the deadline hit.
Yeah, wow.
I cannot believe
such
that.
A Browns
and they got
thing
this
to have
guy
happen.
from baseball.
Yep.
But and don't tell me, well, my cell phone's on. That's BS. You need your analytics. You need your people in the film room if you're working on trades and things like that. You need your capologist. You don't do it with your kids doing homework watching.
Do you excuse? I mean, Sashi Brown, 41
Sashi
years
Brown,
old.
There you go.
41 years old. Do you excuse it because he's young and
nope.
maybe never been through it?
That's why
it?
He should be on it even more.
Oh, gosh.
Ridiculous.
Not good.
No, not a good look.
Yesterday I teased this but didn't ask it, so I'm going to ask you guys now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which team has been, because I saw this poll on ESPN. I thought it was actually a pretty valid question. I wanted to get your thoughts on it because I know I have mine, but I wanted to see yours. Which team has been the most surprising through week 8? All right, so through the first half of the year, who has surprised you the most? The Bills at 5-2, the Rams at 5-2, the Eagles at 7-1, the Jags at 4-3, the Vikings at 6-2, or the Saints at 5-2. So Bills, Rams, Eagles, Jags, Vikings, Saints. Who has been the most surprising to you guys?
Without question to me, it's the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
A lot of people had poo-pooed on Tyrod Taylor. A lot of people said that they didn't have enough offense. You know, they traded for Jordan Matthews. He wasn't performing at a very high level. They thought they'd load the box up and stop Shady McCoy. Look, bottom line is they even shipped out Marcell Dareus, and they are where they are, and they continue to do what they do. And now they just traded for the best receiver from the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to say it's the Buffalo Bills.
All right, Nick, who you got?
I was going to say either the Eagles or the Bills, but I'll say Eagles. I mean, I didn't think they'd be a one-loss team right now. Carson Wentz was a quarterback that a lot of people didn't even believe could throw past 10 yards last season, and look at what he's doing for that Philadelphia squad right now. I've been down on Philadelphia ever since they got rid of Andy Reid, to be honest with you, because I'm so high on him as a coach that I didn't give him a chance at all. So Eagles, no question in my world, is the biggest surprise through week 8.
I was torn between the Rams and the Jags because when you look at the Rams were 4-12 last year, the Jags were 3-13. Both of these teams didn't even win 5 games, and now here they are, the Jags at 4-3, but the Rams sitting at 5-2.
Yeah.
They added Wade Smith. That defense, every time he goes to a new team, they just kick ass.
Wade Phillips.
Why do I always say Wade Smith?
You do. Smith was the offensive lineman.
I don't know why I have that in my head when I mean to say Wade Phillips. But
I think you interviewed him in studio, Wade Smith, right?
That's why. Smith at Radio Row.
But I'm going to go Rams. When you come from 4-12 and they're kicking everybody's ass. I mean, I know Jags was my sexy pick for the wild card, but even the Rams coming in at 4-12 and now flipping the script and 5-2. But I thought that was a good question because you could make a case for all of those teams being the most surprising when you look at how the Saints started.
Yep.
And their defense was atrocious. Sorry, Clarence. And now they've turned it around. The Jags at 4-3 when they won 3 games last year. They've already they already are guaranteed a better record than they had last year, and it's halfway through the season. They've only played 7 games.
Everybody poo-pooed on Goff too. You're right. I was torn between the Bills because of Tyrod Taylor.
Everyone was down on Goff.
And everybody was down on Goff. What a complete bust of a number one pick.
Yep.
So you're right. I mean, the Rams have had a great season. And look, you really can't go wrong, except for if you were a dumbass and picked the Jags to make the playoffs. Other than that, I think that any of those would have been legit.
Vikings at 6-2. I think it was surprising that no Teddy Bridgewater. You know, Adrian Peterson is out. What are they going to do?
Well, Bradford to play his ass off in game one and then not play again and tell me that they're still going to be that good.
Yeah, they're basically down to their third quarterback, essentially.
Yeah. And by the way, rumors out of Green Bay where they wanted to Hoyer before he signed with the Patriots.
Really?
No, they don't. Just let him go. Don't do that to me. I've already had enough anguish in my life.
Do you think I guess the Broncos are going to hang on to everybody they got. But I was thinking, do you think they cut one of those guys?
He's already signed, though. Hoyer's already signed with the
Packers. No, I'm saying, do you think the Broncos for the Packers to maybe go out and sign? Do you think the Broncos keep, if you're not going to keep Lynch, if you're not going to play him, and you're down on Simeon, do you really need to keep all three of those guys?
Well, but now with the deadline passed, there's nothing they can do until
the offseason. Yeah, I mean, if they cut one of those guys,
I think that's a really bad look if you take a draft pick and then of that high magnitude, a first round pick, and then you trade him. I mean, you cut him, don't get anything for him.
I guess.
Nick, crank that up a little bit, please.
Likes that.
Edgar from North Carolina.
Is that what this
six,
is?
6'6", number 23, Michael Jordan.
What song is this?
Serious. It's the interlude to Eye in the Sky by Alan Parsons Project.
Okay. This is a pump you up song?
No doubt. You hear that? Get chicken skin for that one. That's the Bulls starting lineup introductions for all the years when they were good. All right, so we continue to roll on. I'm telling you, I'm motivational. I'm hoping that it all works.
You don't have not a single negative song in your playlist.
I don't.
Not from Houston.
Did you just go and look at it?
Not from Houston. Yeah, I looked at it. No, that's what I'm saying.
No, I believe, Barry.
No, is that what it is?
I believe that they will achieve. That's what it's all about today.
Okay.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Again, Sarah Barshop, Texans beat reporter for ESPN, coming to the phone lines to join you at 3:30. So don't go anywhere. If you have Texans questions, let us know. Otherwise, just continue to listen to the show. We are the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the usual suspects, continue to roll on with the final hour of the big show. It's been fantastic so far, and it's going to continue to get better because we already had Jeff Blum on to talk about the Astros. We've had spirited discussions about everything from Jock Peterson to the college football playoffs. And now, a fast-becoming friend of the show, Sarah Barshop's going to join us. She, the beat writer for ESPN covering your Houston Texans, and she who had all the inside scoop this week on everything going on with Dwayne Brown, the trade that was, that wasn't, that is, and everything else in Texans land. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Sarah, was it one of the craziest weeks you've ever experienced having covered the Texans?
Yes, maybe other than the week of Harvey when I was in New Orleans and then Dallas. But I woke up Friday certainly not expecting what would come that day. And then, of course, just the last couple of days been absolutely nuts.
So let me ask you. So Lane is a Texan, then he's not. He doesn't pass his physical. Obviously, we were at the point of no return with Dwayne Brown. But all in all, are they pleased or even maybe more pleased that they just got an extra draft pick? Or did they really expect that Lane was going to add some depth to that secondary?
I think, you know, adding Lane gives you another option. You can see, I mean, they've clearly had a cycle of players, and not just that corner, but, you know, in the secondary as a whole, they've been bringing guys in all year. So if you think Lane can help you even a little bit, I get, you know, it's worth it to have him. But obviously, if you can't have a healthy Lane, then you'd prefer the draft pick. So, like you said, once you make that trade, you can't tell Dwayne Brown. Actually, it fell through, so you're going to be back in Houston.
So what can Houston Texans fans expect? I mean, are they going to just get extras, or what can they expect now if he's failed the physical? Is there a shot that he comes back and takes another physical later?
No, he's a Seahawk, so they'll take the extra pick. They traded a pick with, now they traded, I believe, a fifth round this year with Dwayne, and then they got two picks, I believe, one this year and one next year.
So going forward, looking at the Colts this week, they're trying to move forward. But one thing is for certain, if you were looking at the barometers being the Chiefs and their defense earlier and then the Seahawks this last week, I know there's not much that anybody wants to put into moral victories, but boy, oh boy, Watson proved he is the guy for now, he is the guy for the future, and he was impressive against that Seattle defense.
Right, and that's what I wrote after the game. You know, the conversation after every game he played well was kind of, yeah, but he's done it against the Browns. He did it against teams that haven't been very good. And I would argue when you look at how good those defenses have been, part of that is because they've had to play Deshaun Watson. I mean, that certainly affects your stats when you're talking about where you are ranked. But against the number, I mean, he did it. He had three interceptions. One was on the, you know, essentially game-ending play, but he showed that it doesn't matter which defense he's playing, they're going to score points. Now, whether the defense can keep up with that is another story, but you don't have to worry about Deshaun Watson keeping you in the game at all.
I found your article, I think it was from this morning, pretty fascinating, where you talked about the different records that he can break versus the Colts, which included he needs three passing touchdowns to have the most through a player's first eight NFL games. Not just a rookie, but any player. Kurt Warner holds that record. There was the Watson throws for three touchdowns. He'd be in the top five of most passing touchdowns by a rookie in history. I mean, he's breaking all kinds of records. In that locker room, are they trying to – is it one of those things where they're kind of acknowledging it with him, or is it just not even being discussed and they're not worried about that?
I think he knows. I mean, he knows what he's doing, but what I gather from Bill O'Brien is one of the things they really like about Deshaun Watson is that, you know, he knows he's good and he's very confident, but he also knows he has a lot to work on. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's pretty genuine. Today, someone asked him, you know, I know you're doing lots of things well, but what are some areas you want to improve? And I think he listed just about every area that he could, you know, that affects him. Like he was talking about playing in the pocket and all stuff like that. So he clearly has the mindset of, I have a lot of work to do. Yes, I'm playing well. And maybe in private, he's like, yeah, I am really good at football. But the thing is, when you back it up with what he's doing on the field, you know, you can't deny that. That's for sure.
Well, where are we now on this entire situation with Bob McNair, the players? Is it now behind them? I know that the Clowney Halloween costume was another added caveat to the entire story. I know I thought Mr. McNair apologized maybe too much. But where, from a perspective of just the pulse of this team going forward, are we in terms of the Texans going towards Sunday?
I mean, I don't think you can ever, I'm not a player, obviously. I'm not in that locker room. So, you know, he wasn't calling me an inmate. So even though I know that what he used was wrong, I can't even imagine how the players feel. And I don't think you can ever take that away. No amount of apologies, I think, can mend that, you know, knowing that your owner feels that way about you. But I also think, and maybe they'll continue to kneel the rest of the way. I think that'll be interesting to see what they do. But I just think it's not going to be really a topic of conversation anymore. Just because, I mean, for me personally, like, if there's nothing else, if he doesn't say anything, I'm not going to ask about that every week, and you know, unless they do something when they protest, just because I think unless there's anything new, you know, it's kind of an old story. And like I said, you can't take away what he said, and I don't think the players will ever feel that it's over, but I just think I can't see there being new news on it, if that makes sense.
Well, you had the trade with Dwayne Brown, but also you reported this week that Christian Covington probably lost for the year. Is Watkins the replacement? Are they looking for somebody else? Are they going to sign somebody else, or are they going to roll with Watkins to replace Covington?
They just signed a defensive lineman off the Patriots practice squad, I believe, yesterday. So, you know, they'll bring guys in. I think Watkins certainly is a contender for that. When Joel Heath gets healthy, he did not practice again today. So when he gets healthy, I mean, I think you're hoping that he can take, you know, Covington's place because he's played a lot this season. But, yeah, they're definitely getting thin on the defensive line.
I also see a familiar face back with the exit of Dwayne Brown, in that they went back and they added Kendall Lamb once again, who had a really rough first game against Jacksonville.
And I asked Bill today, actually, will Chris Clark start at left tackle on Sunday? And he said, well, it could be him. It could be Kendall Lamb. But
please don't do that.
I can't imagine the Texans trade Dwayne Brown without knowing that Chris Clark can start for you on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I know. How frustrating is it to when you're working with a guy, you know, because it's your job to ask those questions. Does it become frustrating? Because we make fun of Bill O'Brien all the time and how when, you know, the way he deals with the media and the questions that you guys ask, does it get frustrating to do your job, Sarah, when they won't just give you an answer to a question?
You know, a little bit. I think it makes me work harder to try and get it somewhere else. But then sometimes it surprises me. Like, I couldn't believe he told us that Covington was probably out for the year with a torn bicep. Like, he just said that on Monday after, I think, Aaron Wilson asked. And we're like, oh, okay. You know, sometimes you don't expect that stuff. And so when you get it, it's a pleasant surprise. But I think, you know, as a journalist, you understand why he doesn't want to give away all that information. But certainly sometimes you think it could be a little easier.
Who would you rather deal with? Because O'Brien, though it's similar, they are kind of different, because O'Brien will kind of snap back at you where you look at Bill Belichick and he just doesn't say anything. Who would you rather deal with, the guy that's going to snap back a little bit or the guy that's just going to stare at you when you ask a question?
I really enjoy talking to Bill O'Brien. I think he's a very smart guy, and I mean, I don't feel intimidated with him when he snaps back. I know it's not personal. So I actually really enjoy, challenging myself to get a good answer out of him.
I got a quick one for you, kind of on the Bill O'Brien front as well. I mean, some of his quotes recently, and because of the fact that we talked early in the year that Bill O'Brien, even though he has another year on his contract, this might be a do-or-die year for him and not sure he's coming back. But when the players did protest, he said he had his players back 100%. He supported his players. He's with his players. Then when the Dwayne Brown trade talks were coming up, he said that basically said, that's not my deal. All I do is coach the team. I don't have anything to do with that. And it seemed like that was a little bit of an edgy comment because of the fact that it was almost like he should, but he doesn't. Where is that whole situation right now? How does it sit with Bill O'Brien, Rick Smith, the relationship, the dynamic, and what are the feelings on Bill O'Brien?
I think it's about the same. And my guess is that Bill, I mean, like you said, with that comment, Bill acknowledges that it's probably not going to change. Now, maybe that's easier to deal with when you get to coach a guy like Deshaun Watson. I don't know. I would have thought going into the season that maybe this would be Bill's last year, like we talked about. But I don't know. Like, I think if we talk about this team, like, they're playing really well, and they are, but they're also 3-4, right? They're under 500, and they're a game back of Jacksonville and Tennessee, and Jacksonville beat them at home. So they still have to make the playoffs, but I think if this is a playoff team, I could, you know, and Bill wants to say, I could see him back with a new contract.
So let's talk a little more about Bill O'Brien, because I'm fascinated at the play calling and the creativity of the plays that they're using. I'm not used to this as a Houston Texans fan watching this team. And I've seen it mentioned that he's maybe borrowing a little bit, Bill O'Brien is, from the college game, where maybe Watson is a little more comfortable in running some of these option plays or these run pass options. Or I think I even saw where you mentioned that they used an inverted wishbone on one of the passes touchdown passes to Will Fuller. How did this come about? I don't think any Texan fan was expecting this kind of creativity this early.
I think part of it just comes from, as the Texans watch film and as O'Brien sees what Deshaun Watson can do, I asked him today, like, because he was saying that it's not necessarily that he feels like he's being more creative, but they just feels like they can do more with Deshaun. So I said, like, is that the difference then? Because he can do the thing, you know, the things he can do lend themselves to that. And he said, yeah, that, you know, that's what it is. The more we watch film and we see some of the plays Deshaun makes and some of the ideas he has, it just makes it a lot easier to come up with stuff like that and to borrow. He said he and the coaching staff all kind of borrow from different offenses they've seen or that they've coached in before. They're having a lot of fun with that.
Last one before we let you go. Lamar Houston had a really good game. Was that kind of surprising? And do we expect to see maybe Lamar Houston get some more minutes and maybe even take over as a starter?
I think when you have a guy who has experience, it's a little bit easier. when he comes in, you know, just he knows what he's doing. It's not like when you get a guy off the practice squad or an undrafted free agent where you're having to teach him a lot more. I know Mike Vrabel was talking about, like, you know, when we talked about this, he was like, it's only been a couple of days, but clearly, like, he knows what he's doing. So I think they're going to try and do whatever they can to get this defense playing more like it did last year. So certainly wouldn't surprise me to see that.
Well, Sarah, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. We encourage everybody to follow your following of the Texans on Twitter is the best way to get you. Am I right? At Sarah Barshop?
Yep. Yep. I use Twitter a lot.
Well, there you go. Well, it's a good follow, and we always appreciate you spending some time with us. Thank you for making some time in your schedule, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Yeah, great talk to you guys.
There you go, Sarah Barshop on the HRP Lister line as she joins us every so often to talk Texans and give a little bit of the inside scoop. She had a lot of the breaking news this week.
She did.
With Dwayne Brown. And so she is a good follow on Twitter if you need someone that gives you a little inline to the Houston Texans.
Well, I mean, she's the beat writer for ESPN. And, yeah. You know, so she's going to get a lot of access. She's going to get a lot of information up front. And
not
so,
the
yeah.
Gal Media ESPN.
No.
The Bristol.
ESPN.com. ESPN. She yeah. writes for them. So
yep. There you
she's
have it.
Getting a lot of good info out there.
All right. So we got a half hour to go in the big show. We're going to continue to roll on. We got some funny audio that Tommy Lasorda had, where he gave a little advice to Dave Roberts before anything got underway in the post game last night. See if that helps him tonight. Also, Lance McCullers on starting game 7. And your calls, comments, and texts and tweets.
Somebody wanted to know if you're just using a Jock Jam CD for your hour.
Nope. Not even close. And I've got more songs still to come. So you just slow your roll, people. Be positive. That's what I'm talking about. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Jam this, Jock Jams. I don't think that Guns N' Roses was on any Jock Jam CD, by the way.
My wife called me one time while I was listening to Sweet Child O' Mine, and I didn't take her call because I was in the middle of singing.
I knew you were singing.
And she was like, what happened? Like, I called her right back. I was like, hey, you called? She goes, yeah, what happened? I was like, Guns N' Roses was on. That's what happened. I'm not taking your call. You're not interrupting my Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child O' Mine.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. That's one of those songs. I'm not even a big Guns N' Roses guy, but in the car by yourself, that's a
when it's
sing
on the radio,
those are sing
got a
out loud
of opportunity.
Songs.
I've done that before. Hell
yeah. They drew to fill up NRG.
Did they?
The tour that was just here in the last 6 months.
Yeah?
Yeah, they because they haven't been on tour in so long. There's a loyal
That would be a boring base. Boring concert, though, with Axl Rose doing the whole show from a gurney, because isn't he
well,
about
he, look,
on
he
the
broke
edge?
His leg or something, too, so like he was doing it sitting on
he's
a stool.
He's 100, plus you take... And that's
he used
a,
to do that little
he's
snake
100,
dance thing.
But in meth years, he's like 400.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's like completely different. It's like a, it's like Canadian years, but with meth. It's weird.
I'll tell you what, I was pretty down last night watching the end of the baseball game.
Yeah.
But I was telling you, I was flipping back and forth to watch the coverage, ESPN, MLB, and just get the interviews, the podium, the things like that. First thing I noticed was McCullers was out in the outfield doing
long
his
toss.
Long
yep.
toss,
I
right?
Like it. Yep.
But the guy that, I don't even know his name, but the guy that hosts on Fox's coverage that flips over to MLB, the actual host with Poppy and Keith Hernandez and Frank Thomas and A-Rod, know the game, right? He goes, guys, turn around. Look at this. I've never seen this before in my life. Lance McCullers is, he's out in the outfield, and he's looking like he's going to throw a game. Doesn't he not know the game is tomorrow night, not right now? And all the ex-hitters are going, yeah, that is crazy. I've never seen that before. And the ESPN guys are like, David Ross is like, well, that's a normal bullpen session when you get ready to do long toss. Mm-hmm. And I was like, come on, man, know your stuff.
Didn't
so then I flipped over,
okay.
And I get to the press conference room, and they said that Dave Roberts is going to talk. And it's the only thing that made me laugh before I went to bed last night after that Astros debacle was he was on his way to the podium, and evidently they explained later it was Tommy Lasorda, but he was kind of halfway in the door, and someone said, hey, Tommy wants to see you. And he was like, oh, hey, wait a minute. So he turns around to see Tommy Lasorda, and I don't think he expects it, but we got the audio of it. Tommy Lasorda was actually loud enough the entire press conference room could hear what he said to Dave Roberts next.
Hey, Tommy,
If you couldn't make it out.
Wait, because here he comes to the podium.
Thanks for the words of encouragement.
That was fantastic.
If you couldn't make it out,
he
told,
him,
you haven't done bleep until you win tomorrow.
Yep.
And then he comes, those were quite words of encouragement. That's such a Lasorda thing
to say. That's a 90-year-old man that used to manage the Dodgers telling you, hey.
Is he 90?
Yeah. Did you see the first pitch
last night?
No wonder
he threw it underhand. I was like, what a girl
throw. First of all, did you see the first pitch last night?
Ugh, get your crap together,
Tommy. He and Oral Hershiser threw it out. He threw it underhand. And I was like, oh, come on. And then I realized he was 90. But then Hershiser threw it, and he threw it pretty well. But then they put up Hershiser stats and how you and I were talking about pitchers don't go long anymore.
Oh, yeah.
His stats in 88.
Isn't that ridiculous?
In the postseason were off the charts ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was that's back when men were men.
No question.
He had, what, two complete games?
Two
three
complete
shutouts?
Games, shutouts. Yeah, just 1.05 ERA. Just crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he made Lasorda look great, didn't
no
he?
No doubt.
Yeah, it's amazing what a fantastic pitcher can do for you. I know we got to go to break, but I want to get a couple of these texts in. We were talking about watching the games and stuff. Somebody said last year I told my wife jokingly, "Woman, don't piss me off." And a few weeks later, my four-year-old daughter told my wife the same thing. So I'm not allowed to watch sports around her anymore.
I really got to watch that at home.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. I bet. Also, Brandon sent in this text. Florida, Florida State. Michigan, Michigan State. Oregon, Oregon State. Kansas, Kansas State. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. What the hell happened to Texas, Texas State? Yeah, not the same. We don't get
that
down here.
U of H Rice matchup, Nick, that is a dandy.
Are you doing November? No Shave November? No either shave. Of you? You guys doing Movember?
No, we thought that was your job.
I thought, you know, last year we had a
I
big
to-do. I didn't participate
to-do.
Last year.
I know.
Travis
I'm not
did
doing
it last
it.
Year, so it's your job
I'm not
this
doing
year.
It because I have to get on stage, and I'm not getting up there. I look creepy enough by myself. I don't need to creep it up anymore with
be the fourth member of
weird,
ZZ Top.
Weird mustache. Although, I should just let this grow. Just my raggly-ass beard that I can't grow. Okay. I should just let it. I might do that. I might just see what I can grow in November. At least I'll have an excuse if I don't shave because it's pretty ugly.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're going to have an excuse for being ugly.
Okay.
We'll be back to wrap things up. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tyler Scott joining us on The Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on. He was in here because he's as psychotic an Astros fan as I've seen in this city, and he has to watch the game up here tonight.
Yeah,
getting ready for your post-game extravaganza.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Did you guys see where Wendy Williams passed out, by the way? Did you happen to see that?
I did not.
I didn't see it. I just saw it
my
on
wife's
Twitter.
Huge
I didn't
fan.
See the video.
Is she?
She tapes that show.
Really?
Yes. I don't understand it.
I've never liked her, but apparently yesterday she passed out, and I don't know that it was a stroke, but they said that she was dressed as the Statue of Liberty, and she was talking, and her speech started slowing down, and as she spoke to the audience, then she stumbled and just fell. But it was a very dramatic fall. It looked like it was a plan. I thought, just when I didn't see the audio, or I mean hear the audio, it looked like somebody scared her with something because her eyes got real big. And then she fell, and she came on later. This whole bunch of staff ran around her, but they were like, she came back from a commercial break, and she told the audience that was not a stunt. I overheated in my costume and passed out. And I'm looking at the costume, and it looks like just a fancy dress with she's got a little, obviously, the hat on, like, statue. I don't see how you could get overheated in this thing. It's just a regular-ass costume. Like, it's a dress. It's Lady Liberty. It's not like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I passed out once in, like, I want to say fourth grade, third grade, maybe? It was Halloween. And my mom dressed me as a mummy because I wanted to win the costume contest. And so my mom was like, oh, well, I've got an idea. We'll wrap you up as a mummy and you should win because it'll look authentic. So she was taking bed sheets and ripping them and wrapped me up. And I had on thermal underwear underneath it. So I put on thermal long john bottoms and long sleeve top. She wraps me in layer after layer of sheets. All you could see is my eyes. Like, I have an eye hole and then my nose is... And then I had to be pulled to the bus stop in a red wagon because I couldn't, like, move. It was almost like the on Christmas Story when they bundled a little kid up for winter. You know what I mean? And he can't... That's what I look like. Like, I could barely move. And I just remember going from class to class. It took me... I was late to every class because I couldn't walk. And the more class started, the more school drug on, I started getting hot. And then I started like I was like, man, I don't feel good. And I thought I was going to vomit. And then I basically had a heat stroke and passed out from this stupid ass mummy costume.
Wendy Williams is a comedian too, right?
Yeah, but I woke up in the nurse's room, okay? I'm in this mummy costume and I didn't even make it to the costume contest. I fainted. I wake up in the nurse's office with my mom there. So I don't know how long I was out, and she's over me. And I remember waking up, and I was like, did I win? She was like, what? I was like, did I win the costume contest? She goes, oh, they gave you this. And it was a stupid-ass participation ribbon. And I was like, I risked life and death. I almost had a heat stroke. I probably lost brain cells for a stupid-ass participation ribbon. I was so mad, and that's why I think I hate Halloween, because I didn't get what I wanted. And it's like, I wanted that so bad. It was crap. So I kind of feel like
Wendy Williams.
I feel like I can relate to her passing out. Although I'm like, I was literally mummified. My mother mummified me. I don't know how her, like, that's kind of a baby, like, she's an adult. You should
pass out.
I just
saw the correlations between you and Wendy Williams.
As I don't think she's a comic.
I thought you just said she was.
Oh, I don't think she is.
She does stand up.
Does she?
Lisa tapes the show, and when I walk in the living room, she says, you can see me appearing.
Are you sure that's the same? I don't think she's a stand-up. I think you're thinking of somebody else from, like,
check
a
it.
View
check
or something.
It. She does,
are you sure?
Every so often, she does, like, bigger shows.
I'm Googling Wendy Williams stand-up. I swear if she's a stand-up, I'm going to punch
see,
myself
you're
in the
see
face.
The comparisons?
No.
All right.
I don't think I'm doing
while
any
you're
Wendy
doing
Williams
that,
jokes.
Let's get J-Dog in here real quick. He wants to talk Astros. J-Dog, we're up against it. What's up?
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, man?
I'm going to be real quick. I'm going to be real quick. Clarence called in yesterday and kind of left us on a negative note. So I'm going to leave us on a positive
nice.
Note today. I mean, this emotional imbalance is kind of perfect for what's going to happen. We're about to party like it's 95. We're about to get this big win tonight. And this is what it is, man. That's what I want to call to say. Y'all have a good day, y'all. Enjoy the game.
Appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, man. Let's hope.
You see Mattress Mac, by the way, is hedging his Astros win it all, you get it all?
I didn't.
So the article just broke in the Las Vegas Review-Journal this morning. He says, I'm not a gambler. I got broken that habit. I couldn't pick a big dog out of a room full of chihuahuas, but I hedge. It looks as though, because they can't pinpoint the exact amount of money, but because that he got taken to the cleaners on the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl, where he guesstimates he lost and had to pay out over $8 million to people with furniture, that a large sum of money has been put down on the Astros for tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the vast majority of the hedge was through insurance companies, but I did some hedging in Las Vegas. It's all legal, said McInvale. It's a hedge bet, and it's all on the Astros.
Mm.
The man just exudes pro-Houston, doesn't he?
Boy, you wouldn't catch me doing that. There ain't no
damn
way.
He said the people in sports wagering were very accommodating and very nice to me.
I bet.
On the light side, they said 1.85 to 3 mil. That's a big sum of money, man. You better hope Lance McCullers pitches his ass off.
Somebody texted and said, if the Astros win, you all should participate in No Shave November. I'm down. If the Astros win a World Series, I'm down. I won't shave for the month
I'm
of
down.
November.
I'll discuss it with Lisa.
Oh, hell. All right. Post-game show, win or lose? Yes, there is a post-game show, win or lose. I don't know if we'll have any call-ins from certain places that sell shirts and hats, but it will be a post-game show brought to you by Academy. Win or lose on both 97.5 and 94.1, which, by the way, you can listen to the game on both those stations, this station and SportsMap 94.1. Not going to let this go. So we're going to give our predictions, but this is the last text I'm going to read today. It's from Clarence.
Oh, no.
Dodgers 5, Astros 2.
See, you had to screw it up. J-Dog said he wanted to be the last caller,
but
set
but,
the mojo right, but, and you go and kick it in the nuts.
But you guys can redeem us.
Man, I don't feel good about
because
it.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm picking the Dodgers.
What's the score?
My first
I should have picked them yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pick them. I don't want to pick against the Astros on game 7.
I'm going to go Dodgers. I don't either. Dodgers 4, Astros 2.
Nick.
I'm going to pick the Astros. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Okay.
I'll be happy to
ride or die. You're just picking with your heart, not with your head.
I am. There's no money on it. I'm taking the Astros, and I'm taking the Astros 4-3.
Astros 4-3, and I think you, Darvish, makes me look good tonight because I propped him up.
He made you look like crap for like a week.
You know, secretly, I wouldn't mind that, but he makes me nervous.
The Real Gamblers are next. It's Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. They are on deck, and they'll take you home till 7 o'clock, right up till about game time. So don't go anywhere, and hopefully we got good news to talk about tomorrow. Appreciate you being with us like you are every single Monday through Friday. We are the Usual Suspects. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.